Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this? Find us on ultimatesportstalk.com, on Twitter at ultimatesportstalk, also on Twitter at Gridiron Beauty. Welcome to Gridiron Beauty's Blitz. We have a special guest today. She made the special time for us today, and we are happy to have Shelby Osborne, the first female DB in the college football realm, and she's going to take off this 2014. So we're hoping she'll have success and the NAIA. So we'll have her on in a couple minutes here. Shelby Osborne, making the time for us on the Gridiron Blitz to talk women's football as well as women's athletics. So welcome to Gridiron Beauty's Blitz, along with the lovely Erica Lynn Henderson. Are you on, Erica?
I'm here. Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday.
So, Erica, we got Shelby Osborne today lined up. We also have NFL news and notes. We'll finish off the program with the women's Gridiron news and notes. A lot of action in the women's game. Playoff mode in the Women's Football Alliance, playoff mode building in the Independent Women's Football League. Congratulations to the Barbera Rookies Women of the FIFA at the LNFA in Spain for their fourth championship in a row. So that's bodes well for them there. Also in the Guam Women's Tackle Football League, we are kicking off the playoff mode as well. Next weekend, Team Legacy going for back-to-back championships. You have LIBF action in Mexico, as well as another bowl in Mexico next week. So we'll have updates on Facebook for that. PGFL as well. The Extreme, they're having their playoff mode as well going into action with the three divisions there. So we'll have updates on Twitter and on Facebook as to how it's going down. WFA action this weekend, surge 20-6 over the War Angels on a rematch mode. Looks like San Diego is in playoff mode coming into the season, as well as the Boston Militia. You're looking at Chicago Force kind of rebounding there with Bergman as quarterback last night. So all the action, we'll start following it up on Twitter, as well as retweeting some of the handles on there, as well as on Facebook, sharing and updating from those sites and those team official sites. So let's get into the No Joke Football Huddle. And before I go there, congratulations to Sarah's Clicks, which is Sarah Estembe, for winning our leggings contest for the month. So she will be shipped a No Joke Football leggings for winning the contest for the month. So if you don't participate, you can't win. So next month, we'll have a new contest. Until then, congratulations to Sarah Estembe. So let's go into the No Joke Football Huddle. No Joke Football is brought to you by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, and you can go get those leggings that Sarah just won there as well. So we're going to have Shelby Osborne, former Jeffersonville High School in Indiana, and now part of the Seville Tigers. You can follow them on Twitter as well, at Seville Tigers. So Shelby, thank you for making the time today. Welcome to Gridiron Beauties Blitz with Eric Lynn Anderson.
How are you today?
We're doing great, Shelby. Thank you for making the time today, and I know you've been in a buzz mode with a lot of press, everybody nationally and major broadcasters, as well as ESPN. So how does that make you feel?
It's really insane. Like, I never expected this type of response. I love the stories I'm getting to hear from other people saying that they're not afraid to go after their dreams anymore. They're getting into different sports and different jobs and doing things that they weren't doing before. So that's a great thing to consider.
Well, Shelby, tell us a little bit about how this journey began. I know you started in high school and you ended up participating in the, you know, with the boys team. So tell us a little bit about the journey right now, about how it began and up to this point now.
Well, it began 2 years in my junior year. I was at the sectional championships against a team that we should have been able to keep up with and everything, and we really weren't playing to the best of our ability that we were able to do. And I was in stands, and I got a little heated and angry and started screaming, I could play better than that. And that's kind of what started it all. It planted the seeds of the thought that grew to what this is now. And I went up to Coach Odom and explained who I was and why I was trying to do it. And he said, if you can play, I'll play you. So I got out there and fell in love and have a great passion for the game now, and it just totally changed my life.
So, Erica, you got anything for Shelby right now?
You know, I do. So I know, you know, obviously it's big news with you signing with Campbellsville and playing, you know, with the boys. So I'm just wondering how you stay encouraged, if there's, you know, somebody specific that you get to talk to or that comes alongside you, or, you know, just what specifically keeps you encouraged?
What keeps me encouraged is knowing that I'm following my dreams. My dreams were so far out there, and they say that if your dreams, people aren't laughing at them, they're not big enough. And even when no one can stand beside you and say, yeah, you're going to do this, you just got to keep faith. That's all you can do. You can keep faith and keep looking forward and stay focused and take negativity with a grain of salt, because when it all comes true, it'll be those same people that are trying to stand by you and say that they were there for you. But really, you just got to keep your mind straight and stay focused on your goal to achieve everything.
That's great. That's really wise beyond New Year's, for sure.
Shelby, did you play flag by any chance in your younger age?
What was that?
Did you play flag football at any point of your upbringing?
Powder puff. I did play some powder puff, which I was really upset about because the school wouldn't let me play my senior year during football season because they were scared I was going to hurt one of the girls. But, I played some powder puff, and it was really fun, but it just doesn't have the same effect as tackle football does.
Now, you have an opportunity here, pretty off there in the press, but, you know, the expectation is going to be a little high. Are you putting a lot of pressure on yourself right now, or are you just kind of just taking your game as you normally would have in high school?
I'm just looking at it as I would any other time. I'm going to be dedicated and fully focused on what I need to do to achieve and be the best player I can be on that field. That's been the goal from day one, and it's going to continue to be the goal. The press has nothing to do with it. The publicity, it has nothing to do with how I'm going to play. I'm going to play to the best ability and do the best that I can at all times. So I'm have the same pressure. I would be honest with you. No one puts pressure on myself as great as I put on myself. People compliment me, and I'm being hard on myself. So if you can ask the coaches anytime, they would tell me good play, good job, or anything, and I'd be, no, I can do better. No, I can do this. I should have done this better. I can't take a compliment very well because I'm so hard on myself to get to where I need to be.
Now, we have some of the concerns that some people will bring up, as well as sort of liabilities and things like that, but you're playing on the defensive side of the ball, so it seems to be less of a liability if you're playing offensively. Example would be like Jen Welker, who was on the semi-pro team over in the Texas Revs, which is a little bit more impactful because she's a running back. So being a DB, do you think maybe that's not such a liability?
Really, I don't see everyone freaking out about me being a DB, but, like, I played some offense. I just wasn't really good at it because my hands are so small. that I can't really get a hold on the ball. Like, I knew the routes and stuff. I just couldn't really get a hold on the ball. So, but I wasn't afraid to get physical. So whenever it came down time to put me in the game, I was put on the side that the whole point is to get physical with the team, other teams, so.
All right, Erica, go ahead.
All right. Would you consider yourself superstitious? Do you have a specific routine on game day that you do every single week?
Well, my specific routine, it's not really superstitious. It's just a process I go through. The whole day, I turn off my phone. I don't listen to anyone. I don't let anyone talk to me. I'm in my own head. I'm getting myself prepared. I read a devotion before every game, and then I turn on music, and I just get into my music and get pumped up before each game. But other than that, it's not really a superstitious thing. It's just a process.
Good. Do you have a specific devotion that that really encourages you, that helps you, maybe a verse or something that you find you love more than others?
Well, I have Romans 8:28, which is, if our God be for us, who can be against us? And I wear that written on my wrist every single game or track meet that I've been in. But really my devotion that I really read, it's just a daily thing. My high school coach gave all the seniors the Players for Christ FCA Bible, and he gives it to the seniors every year. And it has devotions that are sport-based in the back, and, like, you flip to the date, and it tells you a verse, and has a little athlete's prayer at the end and everything.
Very cool.
So, Shelby, go ahead,
Eric. Oh, no, I was just saying that's really cool. That's pretty grounded and centered in the right place, your mind on game day, so that's awesome.
Thank you.
So, Shelby, your coach was quoted saying she doesn't take no very well. Is that good?
I don't take people saying I can't do stuff very well at all. That is so true. My whole family says it. Everyone says it. If you say that it's not possible for me to do something, I'll find a way to achieve what you said that I cannot do. So, really, like, all these people saying that I won't be able to do it, it's more motivation than tearing me apart. You can say all you want about me, but you can try to tear me apart, but really you're splitting me up. So it's whatever. I take it with a grain of salt.
Now, I was going through your timeline, and there are three things that scare you: spiders, bees, and never trying. So can you explain all those?
Well, spiders and bees is just like the typical thing that every little kid's scared of, and I just never outgrew it. I'm just never trying is just something that scares me. And those that say they've never failed at anything are those that have never tried. I'm not scared of failure. I'm scared of not trying and seeing what I can do to push my limits. You never know what you're capable of until you push your limits. And, I would have never known that I was able to play football if I never went up to Coach Oldham and was like, can I do this? I would have never known that I was capable of running track or capable of being a national qualifier in speech and debate or, you know, I was able to be a published author if I just never tried. I wouldn't have been able to accomplish anything that I have in life if I never tried. So I just want to be able to know what I'm capable of and be the best person I can be. And to do that, is I have to try.
Well, that's awesome to hear. Erica, you got it?
Yeah. So I'm curious about, you probably feel like you have to work a little harder at the game just because of the, the microscope on you. I know I would. Do you have a workout regimen, maybe something extra than what you go through at practice?
Oh.
Do you do stuff on your own?
Yes. From day one, not even since this has happened, from day one, I've always trained harder. I pride myself on training harder than any other person because wherever you are in the world, there's always someone training harder. So I want to be that person that's training harder than everyone else. And so, like, I start out at 4 in the morning and I run. And then I go to school. I have weightlifting classes. is at sports performance and weightlifting. And then after school, of course, there's practices. And then I stay after about an hour to hour and a half working with the coaches and to improve my technique. I stay after to get faster on, like, agility or just key in certain concepts. And then after that, I go hit the weight room, run on the track, do some bleachers, go home, do some core workouts, and then I do my college-level classes that I take and do any homework for that and everything, and then I go to bed.
You're a busy girl. You're a very busy girl, but that's awesome. That work ethic is definitely what is why you are going to succeed in life. So I'm curious, do you have any role models, whether it be, you know, a football player, a professional one that you will watch games of, or just anyone? Do you have someone that you kind of look up to that really encourages you to try?
I have three major football players that I watch. One would be Katie Hernandez. She was the first D1 football player that was a girl. She was kicker. And, like, me and her have been in constant contact since all this has been going down and everything. And she's been texting me if I ever need anything. She said I can talk to her and stuff. She's an amazing person. The second would be Tim Tebow, because he kept faith no matter what. And he stayed true to himself. And he didn't let anything, even when the pressure was on him, to deter his faith. For skill-wise, definitely Richard Sherman. He proves himself on the field and off the field. He wants to be the best he can be on and off. He had 4.0 at an extremely good academic school. He came from Compton, which was known for the worst schools in the country. He proved himself being top of his class, honors, top honors, and he proves that you can't be good at just one thing. He wants to be the best person he can be in full circle and well-rounded. And I love Seattle defense, the best defense in the league, my personal opinion. And that's who I watched the whole season. If I wanted to learn to get better, I watched Richard Sherman, how he floats on the field, and that's who I watched. So.
Nice. Good to hear. Those are all good people to look at. They all have definitely succeeded and proved themselves.
Well, Shelby, what's the NFL swing for you? What's your favorite team?
NFL? Well, I personally believe offense wins games, but defense wins championships. And like I was just talking about the Seattle Seahawks, they have, honestly, my opinion, of course, the best defense in the league. And I watch them to get better myself, and I love their defense. I called them winning back in November, and the whole football team called me crazy. We were on a bus on a way to Indianapolis for a scrimmage or a game. I can't remember which it was, but we were on our way up to Indianapolis. Sounds like Seattle Seahawks, best defense. They're going to be in the Super Bowl. They're going to go far. And they all called me crazy and insane, but we see where we are now.
And you got to get credit to that team. And you watched them. Everybody watched them. Literally on that defensive side of the ball, there were really nobodies. In other words, undrafted. They were on the practice squad. They were not even on the practice squad. So it's got to give you a little bit of fuel, you know, because they accomplished a lot. A lot of those players were never even in the name, you know, known to be on the squad. So they made a big name for themselves on smaller steps, in other words.
Yes, I love the underdog. I'm weird like that. I don't really like rooting for the big teams that, like, kind of like in basketball, the Miami Heat would be the one that everybody roots for because they're like the monster team. You don't really want to root for them if you're me, because you want to root for the underdog. Because if they can make it, you can make it.
Right. So, Shelby, tell us a little bit about the journey now at Campbellsville University. Tell us a little bit about how they've treated you at this board. You've been received well. At this point, you know, academically, we're going to talk now outside of sports. Why are you going to college there, and what's your goal, you know, besides sports? What are you driving for in terms of something to get you into a professional status after sports in that sense?
Well, That's not really a fair question because my profession still has to do with sports. I want to be an athletic trainer because I have such a passion for the whole thing, deal with sports and everything. And I already, like, a lot of the track team are scared of our athletic trainer, the underclassmen. So I do a lot of the wrapping on the track team for, like, ankles and stuff. And I've always been fascinated by that. So, like, sports medicine just kind of made sense to me. And it was a way that I could still be on the sidelines and continue on with the thing that I love the most.
That's great. I mean, that's good to hear. So you're gonna stay focused in the game, but at the same time, like you say, you're going to contribute in a different format. And it's better that way, too, because you, from a former player perspective, you can pretty much relate to any type of injury or any type of obstacle that they're facing on the field on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah, like I've probably at some point in my life hurt every area of my body. Yeah, when I was younger, I was really accident-prone. I've kind of grown out of it. So I know a lot considering I've had to go through all those injuries when I was in elementary and middle school. And I can relate. I can understand and what certain pains are, what the possibilities could be and everything. And I'm just excited to get into the program. It seems like it's going to be a great year, 4 years, actually.
So, Erica, you got anything else?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I have one last question. So, I know you talked about your workout regimen, and I know that probably keeps you pretty busy, but do you have any hobbies outside of football? Do you have anything you enjoy doing that has nothing to do with athletics?
I have 14 extracurriculars. I have two jobs, so I stay pretty busy. I'm in Bible quiz. I've been a national champion in that. I was a national debate qualifier, but I didn't go to the national debate. I'm in theater a lot. I was a thespian officer, thespian honor society, technical and acting in theater. I'm involved in, like, some peer tutoring stuff, some pride and FOR at school, which is basically community outreach and character-driven activities. I'm in FCA. I'm probably one of the most involved people at my school. Well, like, I do everything.
That's awesome. And you sound well-rounded. I mean, that's great that you have kind of, you've diversified your focus, if you will, which is great. And I'm sure that's probably why you're wise beyond your years. I know I've said that before, but you are. And it's so great to hear you. And a lot of people your age don't have the maturity and the focus that you have and the motivation. And that's awesome. I really commend you for your efforts and your hard work.
Thank you so much. It's a lot of time management, really.
So, Shelby, I want to thank you for, giving us the opportunity to, come on board. I know you're a busy lady this week and everything, and we hope to keep with you on your journey, and we're following you, obviously, on the timeline and all that. And you've been very inspirational for a lot of girls, and I can tell you right now this week there's a lot of girls internationally that play ball, and they're rooting you on to success in your 4 years there at Campbellsville University. So we appreciate that, and I'm pretty sure you got a very good support system, your mom, dad, and family. So is that the case?
Now it is. Like, when I first started, they were totally against it. I didn't have anybody in my corner but myself when I first started. But now that they see what I'm doing and they have context of how big this actually is and what a big deal it is to me, they understand, and it's now more support, but at first it wasn't.
Yeah, and it's a big hurdle to do, but I think you're doing a great job, like Erica said.
Thank you so much.
Erica?
What's that? Yeah, I don't have any more questions. No.
All right. So, Shelby, we appreciate you making the time, and from me and Erica, we are going to root you on every step of the way, and we're going to follow you every step of the way as well. And you got, like I said, you got a lot of a lot of support out there. You got Jen Welker, number one out there, Sammy Grassoffi. I can name a lot of players on the women's side of it, Team USA, to name a few, that are going to be basically anchors for you if you need anything, as well as us. So we are going to support you 100%, and we wish you continued success as you go into your college years there at the university.
Thank you so much. It means a lot.
All right, Shelby, thank you for making the time. I really appreciate it for this Sunday. I hope you have a great Sunday and safe travels out there, and we will look forward to maybe chatting in the future. If that's the case, we'll bring you on board again if possible, and then we can see where you're at going into your 4 years there at the exciting time at the university.
All right, I can't wait. I think this next year is going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you, Shelby, for the time. I appreciate it. We will keep tabs on you and have an amazing Sunday today.
All right, have a great
day. Shelby.
No problem.
Have a great day. Bye-bye. So that was Shelby Osborne from Jeffersonville High School. Now she is the NAIA, and she's the first female defensive back in college in a non-kicker position. And on top of that, she's a big Richard Sherman fan. So that's got to say a lot.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, you know, right now, as far as, you know, defensive backs, if you're going to emulate, you know, on field, and he's the one to look at for sure.
Yeah, and she's right. It takes a lot of work. She puts in a lot of hours from what
mm-hmm.
she told us off the air as well. So, you know, credit
mm-hmm.
her for her drive and heart. And I'm pretty sure, you know, the way she's going right now in terms of personal trainer, and she's going to be very successful and pretty much in the know and in the want. So that's going to be both
yeah.
well for her.
And it's hard to believe talking to her that she's, you know, 18 years old, you know, 17, 18 years old. And so that's got to be a big help to her, too, being that mature at her age.
Yeah, and she's got, like I said earlier, she's got a huge support system behind her. I mean, every woman's gridiron player that I've been in contact with is always there to support. They've gone through the hurdles of making a name for themselves. Maybe not that noticeable at this level, for example, but at the same time, they've had to do a lot of things to strive. You know, like, for example, Adrian Smith started the documentary and the website for J.I. Quindo. You got Sammy Grassoffi moving on to music from mm-hmm. the sport, well notable players there, a lot of players basically. I can go on, and she's just gonna be another inspirational story for another girl to make that level, the next level jump into a noticeable state, and let everybody know that girls can play American football, and that's basically the message, that you can play American football, especially on a boys squad. It's totally different, but at the same time, it's somewhat the same. It's just the matter
yeah.
of fact is she's playing on the field.
Yeah. I know what she's doing is brave, and like you said, it's gonna help and encourage another girl who wants to do the same thing.
Awesome. So, Erica, let's go into NFL news and notes. Anything on the wire that we should be focusing on right now, especially right now, you got OTAs coming up. A lot of rosters
yeah.
are going to be changed eventually between now and the end. So what are some of the things that you're seeing out there?
Well, I'm excited, being a Patriots fan, that Devin McCourty and the Patriots are beginning their contract talks. So he had his, you know, his rookie deal, but I'm excited because he has been such an asset. I love him. So I was excited about that. I saw this that I thought was interesting as a Rams fan for you, that Bradford was saying that the Rams are on the cusp of the playoffs. That he thinks
yeah,
the Rams
I'll believe
are
it when
their...
I'll believe it when it comes around, but I don't know. I don't know yet. Fisher for me is a good coach. Just not a playoff coach, if that makes sense. I mean, he hasn't taken a team to the playoffs, technically, since, you know, the Titans against the Rams. So, I don't know. It just it's good. It's good news, but at the same time, as a true Ram fan, you're like questioning that just a little bit.
Yeah, I know. Especially, it'll be interesting to see him come back from that. You know, it was a huge injury for him last year, and so it'll be interesting to see him come back for that and see how he comes back. You know, how well he does. Yeah, I saw that, and I had to mention it for you being a Rams fan.
That's fine. I mean, go ahead.
Did you hear about Amendola hanging up on the radio host?
No, I did not.
That's
kind of strange.
Yeah, he was on a radio show, and somebody asked him about his injury. They called him injury prone, unlucky, and fragile. And Amendola had said that's not something he thinks about, and the guy kept at it, and Amendola hung up on him. So it's
why would you go that route for a person like that? I mean, on an interview, you already know he's prone. Why would you even mention to him? It was just a fact. I mean, he's either had bad luck, which technically in some instances it has been bad luck, because some of the injuries he basically had was on a defensive confrontation, and his head somehow awkwardly was shoved in. So yeah, that could be a big issue. But you know, bottom line is he already knows that. Why would you even say that?
I know, and you know, obviously all those things are pretty true. I don't know that I'd call him fragile. I would call him injury prone and unlucky, sure. And I could see asking the question once, and if, you know, Amendola said, hey, that's not something I think about, drop it and move on. But the guy tried to keep at it, and so Amendola hung up on him. So,
well, that's his right to hang up anyway. So, I mean, if he didn't want to deal with it at that point, I agree with him. It's just, if you're not going to move on from that aspect of it in an interview, then, yeah, maybe you should just bail. It isn't worth the time.
Yeah, I know. I agree. And you know, he might have done it, too, to avoid, you know, basically getting angry and saying something he shouldn't have. You know, hanging up is definitely a better option.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I found this interesting because we've talked about it a lot with Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, the Texans quarterback situation. So I read that they said that right now Ryan Fitzpatrick holds the kind of the early lead to suit up as Houston's first week one starter, that he's the odds-on favorite to win the job. That's what the team's official website said on Friday. Which I found interesting because Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't ever really made much. I mean, you know, he played for the Bills and he just really didn't do much. But, you know, like we've talked about too, a lot of it depends on your system. What, you know, who's coaching you, what the offensive scheme looks like. And so I found that interesting because I'm excited to see how he's going to fit in Texas.
Yeah, I think they'll have a better team. Even if he starts, Buffalo wasn't that bad when he was playing for them. I know when he was playing with the Rams, he was a little composed. I mean, he's a decent quarterback, but, you know, around him and setting things around him will be the key, I think, for him. But, I mean, overall, I think he's a good quarterback. I'm not, you know, not saying he's not. He is a good quarterback. Whether he's better than Schaub, I don't know at this point. Do they have a better option? Probably not at this point. If they want to win right away, they're going to have to go with him since they paid him some good money. So the question marks will be what is the cast around him and how productive he will be.
Yeah. I'm honestly surprised that the Texans haven't signed anybody a bigger name yet, I guess, because Ryan Fitzpatrick, while – you know, he may have the tools to get the job done. I don't see him as a, you know, Super Bowl type, you know, Super Bowl winning type quarterback. I don't see him taking them that far. And for me, with a franchise, obviously that's where you want to go. That's what you're looking for. So I'm just surprised that, that they didn't go somewhere else.
Yeah, and you really think about Ryan Fitzpatrick, kind of a Joe Flacco type. I don't think he's if everybody else, the three quarters of the other team, you know, in other words, the offense and everything else works together for them, he might just be riding high as long as he makes minimal mistakes, doesn't turn the ball over, and doesn't create a bad offensive, you know, output in terms of himself giving up the ball or turning it over. The opportunity is there for the rest of the team to elevate him. And as long as he's decent and he's not doing a bad job at his quarterbacking skills, then the Texans could be successful.
Yeah. And then, let's see. Oh, so I found this. So the Redskins had a player that last year, he admitted that he had a concussion last year. And then it actually ended up ending his season, but he didn't tell anybody. And so the reason why I bring it up is because, you know, obviously concussions they're important. I mean, getting them treated, and if you have too many, it's life-changing. And you remember when Alex Smith was playing for the 49ers and he had that concussion and he went out? And then Kaepernick took over his job, and we kind of know what happened next. Alex Smith ended up losing his job and then getting traded. So it's kind of for these guys, it's kind of a catch-22 in a way, because I can see if they don't say anything, you know, they may be able to just muddle through it. But if they say something, they're going to be taken out for at least a game, because I think the league rules, they could lose their job because the guy behind them, who knows what could happen. And so I just found that interesting that, you know, this player had come out and said he had hit it, that he had hid that he had a concussion. But
And you have the older players now claiming to sue the NFL and filing a suit based on that stuff from the previous. I think I've heard of even Dan Marino going after the NFL. Reality is the sport is a dangerous sport. Everybody needs to realize that. And an injury – that's why only some of the elite players make it to the top level, because along the way you're looking at certain players that somehow, whether in college, high school, at those levels, they were affected somehow by an injury or something in that nature that did not make the potential for them to go up to the higher level. So being at the higher level with the amount of money that they're getting, a lot of people will debate, well, they're getting that money. That money should cover their concussions and everything else that comes along with it. Well, in reality, no. There is no guaranteed contract. There's a guaranteed bonus that they will get for participating, but long-term, there is no guaranteed contract. So a lot of these guys, mismanagement of money is a huge factor for them because they get this huge balloon paycheck, and in reality, they never think of the long-term effect that that's going to have on them, so they don't plan out for that.
Yeah.
They probably waste their money, technically. And then at the end, when they're older, now they're going to claim, oh, my God, the NFL caused all this for me, and I'm going to go ahead and file a suit. Well, reality is reality. The league doesn't cause any of that. You decided to participate in the sport. These are the intangibles of the sport, and you were compensated at some point for those intangibles and dangers. So if you don't look at it that way, you're basically saying, somebody needs to take care of me now because I need that help. Well, in reality, they took care of you, money-wise and everything else. But if you didn't plan ahead and did something of resources for yourself in the long term beyond football, those things are still going to be there for you, and those are going to be affecting you. And anger sometimes brings on lawsuits that shouldn't even be brought on.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, common sense would tell you that, you know, playing, you know, getting hit repeatedly in the head is not good for you. I mean, that's just common sense. I would hope that everyone would realize, oh, hey, this is dangerous. And like you said, plan ahead and know that, you know, suing somebody when you knew that it was dangerous, well, that's not what lawsuits are for. But, you know, it in a way, you know, with these, like I said, with these guys, losing your job when you come forward and say, hey, I'm pretty sure I got a concussion here, and I know that's just how the game is, and there's always somebody behind you that can do your job better or wants it more, and I get that. But in a way, I kind of feel bad for these guys, too, when they're honest about something and then lose their job. That would suck. But
Yeah, and it's really the cutthroat end of the business. It's you know, like you said, like you're stating right now, it's really sad. But at the same time, you do have to kind of, you know, reel in and say, this is a profession, and it's not a nice profession to be in, because the bottom line is, you know, practice squad player sits on the practice squad for a year or two, and then, like you said, a star goes down, and there's the opportunity for another person, and it's a really that kind of turntable. It's you're in, you're out,
yeah.
And unless you're durable enough, unless you put in the time, as most people would say, and unless you're very good at what you're doing and committed to it, the opportunity is there for you to lose your job, and ultimately maybe due to an injury, a long-term injury, will affect you long-term in life as well.
Yeah. I did want to throw something out there pretty ridiculous this week, that it is being said by, I wouldn't name anybody specific, but it's just floating around out there, that Tom Brady is no longer a top five NFL quarterback. I just wanted to throw that out there because it's probably one of the most ridiculous things I've heard in a long time. So there you go.
Okay, so Erica, I'm going to debate with you. Stat-wise, yes. Personality-wise, no. Is that true or not true?
Personality. What do you mean personality? Like,
I'm just saying he doesn't have a personality. So I would agree with that statement. He's not a top five personality quarterback. But stat-wise, I would have to say I disagree with that. Yes, I think he is. He has to be in the conversation of top five. He has the rings. He has the playoff time. He's been able to take his teams to the next level. He's put up numbers upon numbers. He's put people in positions, in other words, other players within a system that he's been working on for a long time, and then taken some of the mediocre players, no-name players within that system, and still made them somewhat productive. Even though he didn't go to the Super Bowl that year, even though it didn't go over that well, but he did make a playoff run, and on top of that, they were still leading the division. So I would have to disagree. Yes, he's probably top five.
Yeah, top two. I'm saying top two. Personality, I've seen him in interviews, and I know the whole thing with Brady and Belichick, and I know people tend to really hate them and their personality. You know, Brady, he's intensely competitive, and I've seen him in interviews, and even on the field, he's very intense and he's very enthusiastic. And I know he's not doing, you know, the Peyton Manning thing, and, you know, Peyton Manning, he's funny, and, you know, he does. He's got a great personality. And that's just not Brady's style, I don't think, either. And he, you know, we're all different, I guess. But yeah, output-wise,
You know, Erica, from me, as a Ram fan, to give your quarterback that much credit, it pains me. But in reality, I can't say anything else beyond that. It's just he is a good quarterback. So a great quarterback, if you want to put it that way. I won't go beyond great, but I will say great. And, you know, that's just bottom line. I think it's just really people take into account. There's a lot of great quarterbacks that have played in this league that if he drops off top five, it's not such a big deal because he's still in the top 10. And to me, if you're a top 10 quarterback, you're a great quarterback in this league and you made a name for yourself and you're going to be in the Hall of Fame at some point. So even if he's not top five on some lists, it's all based on opinion to begin with anyways. So I would say he's top 10, for sure, Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, Hall of Famer. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So that
got you mad? Is that what you're saying?
That got you mad?
Is that what you're telling me?
No,
that got
not
you
at
mad?
All. I have heard it all, Oscar. I don't think there's anything anybody could say that I have not heard directed at me being a Patriots fan. The insults and the everything. They're all there. I get it. I think if I wear any Patriots gear outside, I hear at least one comment, at least one, and they're not nice. These aren't like, oh, go Patriots. They're like, you know, grumbling and words I shouldn't say on the air. So you didn't make me mad. I've learned to let that stuff, you know, and you didn't say anything.
Yeah, unfortunately, you are thick-skinned, so that's good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to be kind. You know, I wasn't so much when I started out, you know, with getting into football. But I've had to learn to be because you know, have a platform like I have and write about it and, you know, do these things and be out there and not develop and let that stuff kind of roll off your back, because otherwise you'd be upset all the time.
Yeah, high blood pressure is not a good thing, especially in football. That causes a lot of problems.
For sure.
And Belichick is the first one to tell you that in a calm, non-interactive manner. You can tell he's
non-emotional.
He's got that.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I don't care. He reminds me of somebody that is always at the podium and says, "You lost this game coming in. You're thinking you're going to lose this game." And I always like his response. That's your thoughts. So that's great.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't his thoughts coming in. You know, I like that response. That's your thoughts. Perfect.
I love watching his interviews, to be honest. They actually crack me up. I think they piss a lot of people off. But I just laugh because the way he treats some of these media people, like what are you, why are you asking me this stupid question? And a lot of them are stupid, you know?
Yeah, and unfortunately, the Patriots are so well known and hated on the same token that you either literally love them or you don't. And it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you're putting banners and titles on the stadium sides and the owner's happy, I don't think anybody else.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's no big deal. It's when you're in Cleveland and you've got nothing to go by except for good food and maybe a good scenery off the bay there. That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
that
and
yeah,
unfortunately,
the
Patriots have American colors, so everybody should like them anyways.
I know, right? I always say that. I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but the Patriots really should be America's team. It should be America's new team. We've got red, white, and blue. What's more American than red, white, and blue?
Oh, my God, no, you didn't go there, because this is Jerry Jones's little thing. Jerry Jones
yeah.
You know, Tony Romo and Jerry Jones are America's team. I don't know what you're talking about.
No. I know, right? I mean, that's right. America's team, they're a bunch of losers. I did say it. I went there.
Yeah, you did go there. At least you're bold about it. But I can tell you right now, the NFL Network is probably owned by Jerry Jones, and nobody's saying anything about it, but I know for a fact it is owned by Jerry Jones, because as a Cleveland Browns fan, I'm pretty sure I'm mad because they're not even on there any of the time. None. The only time they're on there is when they get a draft pick like Johnny Manziel, and that's it. But other than that, they're not ever on the NFL Network. Why would you watch it as a Browns fan? You would be disappointed.
That's so funny. I know. I think he owns everything, and he just controls. He probably owns Roger Goodell, and he's like a marionette, and he just controls them.
And Erica, do you know the pitch, right? The pitch was last year, let's change the playoff format so my team can make the playoffs. Because this is just
That's
not
right.
happening
we talked
for me.
About that. Yeah, we talked about that. He's like, oh, hey, extend it and let a couple of extra teams per conference in there, you know, because he thinks, oh, man, if there were a couple, I would have made it in there. Like, but you'd lose your first game. That's the problem, you know. It's fine, get in there, but then what? I mean, you still have to win a game, and you locked Romo in for so long. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and you got me going right now. Let's go into the anger mode for Oscar here. Congress can't get a budget for this America, but we're going to fight for the rights of equality to get the Redskins name off the books in the NFL. Come on, people. The Redskins name has existed since 1932. You got better things to do than worry about the NFL name of a team in Washington. That's ridiculous.
I agree. Well said, Oscar. Well said.
Ridiculous. I saw that statement. I'm like, Congress is going after the Redskins for the name. I'm like, you got better things to worry about. You got Al-Qaeda. You got the economy down the tank. Okay, you got to write the president's speech in a better manner somehow to get us up in this economy up and running. Don't worry about the NFL.
Healthcare.
They're good. And the name has been on for since 1932. Why are you dealing with it now? This is wrong.
Yeah. And haven't they talked to Native American organizations that said that they don't feel offended, that it's not offensive?
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't
I mean, if you're going to go
happen?
That route, yeah, if you're going to go that route, Erica, then you got to strip the Cleveland Indians name, the Atlanta Braves,
yep.
and every other semi-pro
yep.
team that has any Indian type of heritage name. You're not going to do that. There's a bunch of college teams that have names like that. I mean, the word is idiots. Idiots in Washington. That's my political stance right now. We have idiots running Washington. And if they're spending our hard-earned money on removing the Redskins' name from the NFL, we should fire them. We should fire them. That's not a good platform to deal with.
What happens when all the Vikings get upset and Minnesota has to change their name? What happens then? I mean,
I understand sensitivity training. We don't have that on this show. We'll have it in a different political show. But sensitivity training is not here. We play football. If you get hurt, it's ice. Let the trainer take you out the back room. And anybody else, let's go, boy. You're next. That's how it works in football. No intangibles there. It's the next guy in. Sorry, Nara. Hope you get better. We'll see you when you get back. Enjoy your hospital stay, if that's the case, or whatever happens to you. I want to be cruel, but that's the way it works in football. So, I mean, Congress probably doesn't work that way. What do we need to do today? Let's just waste some time. Oh, yeah, let's deal with the Redskins' name in the NFL. Let's see if we can please America with that. Right.
Or you could read Green Eggs and Ham.
There you go. Green Eggs and Ham. Awesome. Well, that's beautiful right there. That's good.
Let's read it. The book. Let's waste time and read the book on the floor. Somebody actually did that. A senator did that or something.
All right. Well, let's move on to the women's game. Finish up the hour here of excitement that we've had. So, Shelby, thank you very much for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Obviously, awesome. News and notes, that's been fun. The playoff mode in the women's game is just starting to heat up. Boston Militia, Chicago Force, San Diego Surge, all familiar names in the WFA. Surge undefeated. There's some 7-0 teams, some 6-2 teams in the mix. Can't forget the Tampa Bay Inferno, because I would get slapped right now if I did. Tampa Bay Inferno, badass in Florida, okay? And then we have the IWFL competition. We can't forget Lisa Horton and the Pittsburgh Passion out there, the Montreal Blitz, Sadia Ashraf as well. So there's a lot of key games going on in the women's game with playoff implications. So before we get out of here, let's just go through the rundown of the women's game in Mexico. For example, FXF Mexico, the Ravens 5-1, the Fraley's 5-1, and the Wild Ducks 5-1 in the Division One in the Mexican League. Very heated division, very top-notch teams. Wild Ducks only 2 years into their existence, and they've played a good 2 years now. Now second year in, and they're almost in the playoff mode. Division Two, the Fuertes, that's what they call it there. Cobra 6-0, Steelers 6-0, and Irish 6-0. Three top teams undefeated within that division. They play each other this coming next 2 weeks. We will see who stays undefeated, who doesn't, to make the playoffs. Division Three in the Bayas, which is the Beautifuls. Cachorros are 5-1, and the Vipers 4-1. They're the top dogs in that division. They should be able to come across. You can keep up with the FSF on our timeline. There's a great show that they do on Twitter, on their Twitter feed. You can follow them. It's a recap week to week. And if you're inclined in Spanish, if you're not, please use your Google Translate and try to do the best you can there to analyze that. But other than that, they're on the YouTube. The game last night in Atlanta Steam, a part of the Legends Football League, 23-13, the debut of Dakota Hughes, as well as Jody Nettles, played an amazing game against the Omaha Heart. 23-13, last minute, 30 seconds, she puts up a nice touchdown score there, and they take care of Teresa Petrozzulo, Shanti Button, and Lindsay Burney, as well as Dante Allen. So the Heart needs to rebound. Two losses, need to come back. They can play better than that. I know they can. So 23-13, and it is Atlanta Steam winning. We'll see if the LFL puts up their YouTube feed for us to watch that game this next coming week. Legends Football League, kind of in a financial woes right now. We will be talking to Pete Richmeyer next week concerning the league status right now, cancellation games in this season. That doesn't tell you a good picture after 5 years. Lack of sales force might be some issues. Bottom line, he'll he'll dive into that and tell us exactly what some of the factors are for that for next week. The Texas Independent Women's League, we're following that. You can follow it at SA Texas Legacy for the results there as well. The Sugar and Spice Football League kicks off. We will get the results as soon as they feed us that information to us as well in Texas. The Women's Western Canadian Football League, week three, coming on about there. You can follow them at WWCFL for the latest results, as well as the Maritime Women's Football League. Maritime Women's Football League showcases the Lady Gladiators chasing a back-to-back championship. So next week they have their semifinals. We'll get the results of this weekend up and running on our timeline and on Facebook as well. The Guam Football League, Guam Ladies Football League, Team Legacy going for back-to-back championships. They already ended their season. They're going into the semifinals just like the MWFL. So we'll get you the results on that as soon as Guam underscore sports gets it to us. The Italian League, the CIFAS, the Italian League, Fenice, top dogs in that after week three. The Lobsters Pescara, the former champs, 0-2. You got Cyrene Milano really putting up a 2-1. Valerie Vismara out there and the rest of the girls, they're doing a great job. We are going to get probably Swedish and Finnish league updates as we get them from SweetFed and as well as some of the girls up in Sweden that they've contacted us about not covering their leagues. So we will start covering their leagues soon here as well. And the LIBF classifying season has kicked off. Two games this week. We will go ahead and give you the results as soon as they post them up. As well as the regular season will kick off in October of 2014. If you want to know about the Australian leagues, on our Twitter handle, you can follow the @WomensGridiron, and you can get all the details on the Australian league coming up for the season, the GC Stingrays, the Logan City Jets, and everybody in between, as well as anything that has to do with Gridiron New South Wales and Gridiron Victoria. If you need to follow them, you can go to our Twitter feed under list. We have every league up there and who we follow within that league, so it makes it easy for you to follow those folks as well. Bottom line is a lot of action in the women's game, playoff mode, new leagues coming into week three or week four, so we're going to keep up with it as much as we can. We are seeking interviews. Anybody who wants to come on to the show, please direct message us on Twitter or on Facebook at Gridiron Beauties on Facebook or on Twitter. We want to bring you on board. Let us know what's going on, especially right now with the playoff mode in the U.S. leagues. Don't hesitate to contact us. Let's get you booked in. We got Pete Richmeyer coming in next week. Right after that, we got Jeanette Gray from the Chicago Force, and we got open dates coming up in the next month as well in July, so one-hour format for it as well. So, Erica, anything else going on with Gridiron Beauties?
No, you know, not a whole lot. We're just kind of bugging along. You know, we're probably working on a site redesign here in a while and gearing up for, you know, college and NFL starting, and which I'm just getting so excited. I go through withdrawal, and it's so difficult during off season. But, yeah, just, you know, keep an eye on our site. Keep an eye on my Twitter, at PassFanGirl12, and also Gridiron Girls Twitter, which is at GridironGirl.org. You can catch any news, new articles, things like that. So, yeah, just keep an eye on that. And then once the season starts up, I'll start back up my Are You Kidding Me videos, my rants. So I'll do those once a week once NFL starts. So.
Great. So, and before we leave, at the top of the hour, we said at Sarah Siklix, Sarah Stemby won our No Joke Football Leggings contest for this past month. So we'll kick off another contest in the next couple weeks here for the next month. And so congratulations to Sarah Stenby for doing that. You can follow us at Zazzle.com @GridironBeauties to get the gear that Sarah's going to get from the leggings. So congratulations to Sarah.
Nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So, Erica, great week in Montana, I hope. You have a great weekend that's coming up. Next week we're going to have Pete Richmeyer here talking Legends Football League, and obviously we're going to keep up with the NFL in terms of the OTAs and what's being affected there, as well as the women's gridiron news globally, news note. So, like, you know, Erica said, keep up with us at PassFanGirl12 at gridirongirls.org, as well as Gridiron Beauty and Gridiron Beauty on Facebook. So for Oscar Lopez, Erica Lynn Anderson, it's been a great Sunday. Thanks to Shelby Osborne for coming up and being with us today on our show. And we look forward to another show of the Gridiron Blitz here on Block Talk Radio, and as well as you can find our podcast at ultimatesportstalk.com. Have a great Sunday, everybody.
Have a great day, everybody. Thanks.
Bye.